23. A Moment of Beauty. Modo was wrestling with a human eel. Every time he thought he had a firm grip, Lime slipped out of his hands and landed another blow. And all the while, Lime was laughing and shouting, "Tra-la-la!" He was absolutely cracked. Modo did manage to knock a knife from the man's hand, but he was rewarded with a fist right to his throat. They had reached the outskirts of Etaples when the carriage veered off the road and struck a post and then the side of an inn. Modo was thrown face first to the ground and managed to scramble to his feet. Both horses had broken free and were charging madly down the street, dragging their harness behind them. Lime's carriage had landed with the front jammed into the ground. The back wheels still spun in the air. A moment of silence had passed, enough time for Modo to turn and see that his carriage was on its side 100 yards back, the two horses struggling to pull themselves out of their harnesses and away from the wreckage. The door to Lime's carriage smashed open, and Typhon leapt out, clutching Madame Hébert. She was flopped over, and Modo couldn't see her face. But this was Modo's first good look at the giant. Nearly twice as tall as Modo, he had legs like the trunks of trees. Modo felt for a weapon, but his stiletto had fallen out of its sheath. He had no gun, but Colette had said bullets were useless against the monster anyway, and now Modo believed her. Typhon didn't move, but he was searching around, for Lime, perhaps. And now, more horrible than this monster, rising in the air over Typhon's shoulder was what Modo first took to be a dark cloud. Then he realized that an airship was approaching, scudding earthward. It had probably come from the deck of the steamship. It was armor-plated and would be heavily armed. Typhon began lumbering towards the dock. Modo ran and jumped, aiming squarely at the monster's back, but in mid-air a whip wrapped around his throat. He was jerked backwards and flipped hard onto his spine, knocking the breath from his lungs. He grabbed the whip and pulled. Lime came tumbling off the roof of the carriage. Modo struck him with his palm, knocking him to the side. Then he ripped the coils of the whip from around his neck, charged towards Typhon, and head-butted him in the spine. The airship was getting closer, and Typhon kept going, the woman now across both his arms. Modo struck him again, and this time the giant turned, gently set the woman down, and faced Modo. For such a massive creature, Typhon moved with great speed. Modo dodged his first blow and came in under his arms, planning to execute a body throw, but the thing countered quickly and locked hands with him. Modo had never met a man stronger than himself. He had lifted wagons, even an airship's boiler with his bare hands, but he couldn't budge Typhon. He was lifted like a sack and held in the air. The beast's eyes were empty, his face a map of scars and stitches.
"Woman to skyship," Typhon grunted. "Must get her."
"Don't talk him to death," Lime shouted.
He walked underneath the struggling Modo, rubbing blood from his nose.
"Break the bastard's spine, Typhon," Lime spat,
grabbing Madame Hébert by both arms and dragging her to the ropes dangling from the airship. Modo was lifted higher and now had a clear view of the airship. No sign of Miss Hakandottir, though a black clockwork guild flag flapped at the bottom of the airship. Along its side was the name Erebos. 6 soldiers in grey uniforms were now rappelling to the ground. He recognized the same short hair and look of obedience in their eyes. Guild soldiers.
"Let me go,"
Modo shouted.
"Break spine."
Typhon lifted Modo even higher and maneuvered him so that he was hanging over a stone fountain next to the inn. Then the monster let out a small huff, and Modo fell to the cobblestones.
"Leave him alone."
Colette was between them now, her stiletto buried deep in the creature's chest. Typhon yanked the stiletto out and stared at the black sludge clinging to it. Colette swung a piece of the carriage, but it broke on Typhon's arm. He dropped the knife, grabbed her by the arms, and spun her wildly as one might a child in a playful game. But then he released her. She flew several yards through the air, out of Modo's line of sight. A moment later there was a crash and a cry of pain. Typhon lumbered back and glared down at Modo. Modo could only raise his arms like some upturned insect flailing on his back. Was his spine broken? Typhon leaned over and stared directly into Modo's eyes. There were stitches across his cheeks, and he had a hideously ugly face. His eyes were 2 different colors. Modo tried to shift his own face, to go back to his ugliness. Perhaps that would shock the creature. Typhon held his massive hand a few feet above Modo's chest. Oddly, it had a disproportionately small little finger. Modo was briefly mesmerized by it, and his own finger suddenly itched. Typhon poked him hard in the chest. Modo groaned.
"You broken," he announced,
then lumbered over to the airship. For several moments, Modo couldn't move. He heard the pop-pop of pistol fire. He gritted his teeth and forced himself to roll onto his side. Octavia was crouching behind a statue of a man on horseback and firing her derringer at the airship. Modo still couldn't catch his breath, couldn't get up. He turned his head to see the airship rising, soldiers on it aiming rifles at them. A bullet struck the ground near Modo's head, spraying him with stinging chips of cobblestone. A bell rang in a nearby church, and Modo blacked out, for how long he couldn't have said. When he opened his eyes again, his head was in Octavia's lap.
"Modo! Modo! Wake up! Wake up!"
With great effort and her help, he was able to sit up.
"Don't move too quickly," Octavia said. "You look like hell. Your face has some rather wicked gashes."
Modo nodded. Townspeople had gathered, and he could hear the buzz of their astonishment.
"Where's my mother?"
he asked.
"I'm sorry, Modo. I tried to stop Lyme, but he's got her.
And Colette?
She's..."
Octavia averted her eyes.
"She's over there. She's not doing well."
Octavia helped him to his feet, and he limped to where Colette had been thrown.
"It's really bad,"
Octavia warned him. And it was. Colette had struck her head and was bleeding from several scalp wounds. A trickle of blood leaked from her nose. Her body was crumpled on the cobblestones, her left arm obviously broken. Her eyes were open and full of pain. They crouched over her.
"Colette," Modo said.
She raised a hand as if to wave.
Did you save your mother?"
"No." She squeezed her eyes shut.
"I am so sorry, Modo. This is what happens when you do not have a proper plan."
She bit her lip in agony.
I am not long. I won't hear of it," Octavia said. "Someone's gone for the doctor."
She squeezed Colette's hand and tears came to her eyes.
"We still have too much to argue about."
Colette managed a smile. Modo pulled out a handkerchief and dabbed at the blood on her face.
"Tavia, may I call you that?" said Colette. "Please. May I?"
She coughed, and her voice was weak.
"Have time alone with Modo?"
"Of course,"
Octavia said. She moved away, and Modo could hear her trying to keep the townspeople back, saying,
"Non, non,"
the total of her French vocabulary.
"Modo,"
Colette said in a faltering voice,
"I have failed you."
"No, you haven't." But to himself, he said,
"We failed, failed, failed." "I ask."
She took a sharp breath, and it was several moments before she sucked in another.
"Will you show me your face? Just once more?"
"No."
"Please, Modo. Don't deny me this. I must see it."
It was easy to shift his shape as he was completely exhausted. He let his features slide, his face blossoming back into ugliness. A few moments later, it was as deformed as it had been at birth. His hair began to fall out in clumps. Modo prepared for her reaction. She looked up with red-veined eyes, blinked.
"It is beautiful,"
she whispered, so sincerely that he wondered if she were delirious.
"Merci, my bonne chance, friend."
She closed her eyes and breathed one last broken breath. He brushed her dark hair behind her ear and began to sob. She was, despite her wounds, still so perfectly elegant. So much lost. His sob turned to a low howl, his body shaking.
After several moments, he felt Octavia's hands on his shoulder, pulling him away.
We have to go, Modo. Gendarme will soon be here.
He stood and turned around to see a very large, noisy crowd. A few braver townspeople were exploring the wreckage, perhaps looking for more victims. Others, more wary, had gathered at the edge of the scene. Some backed away from him when they saw his face.
She was Colette Brunette, Modo shouted. She served your country well. Her name was Colette Brunette.
And then Octavia led him away.